it feels like the right moment to kind of speak about Smilla Sundell and Alicia Rodriguez, that fight, and kind of what your take is on, I mean, because Alicia's coming up in weight, isn't she? So that,
yeah.
I mean, Smilla's a tall, rangy fighter in her own category anyway, and Alicia's coming up in weight to fight her. I'd love to know if what your thoughts would be on how both fighters could either win or lose this fight. What would that look like for you?
Fighters, welcome back to another episode of Heatrick Muay Thai Performance.
I think it's awesome that Alicia is stepping up. I have a lot of respect for her. She's an amazing athlete, and I've known her for a number of years. I remember seeing her back in 2019 and being like, I think you're going to go somewhere. And obviously she did. She beat Stamp for one of the titles. She has had a lot of experience and obviously took time off, COVID, baby, but is now getting back into it. She has, you know, a pretty wide, stocky frame and is shorter than me. So I'm 5'8" on a good day. you know, some people might say I'm 5'7" and, you know, 9'8", you know, 9'10" or so, but no, I'm 5'8". And Smilla is a little taller than me. So I think it's going to be hard in terms of reach for Alicia. That is obviously the first problem. For Alicia as well, it's going to be an issue of getting into the right distance. I know that's something that you have talked a lot about, is sort of distance management. You said there's basically four ranges, correct?
Yeah, well, that's how I like to break it down. Yeah, I see Muay Thai as having long range where you can only just reach with a kick, not with a punch. And then medium range, I'd say, is like punching range where the straight punches can reach. Close range is then hooks, uppercuts, elbows, that kind of knees, that kind of range. And then finally clinch, where you've physically got hold of them and you're right in each other's space. And I see the fight kind of playing out in those discrete areas. And I like to break it down personally that way, because I see certain ranges as taking away certain weapons and bringing others in, but making those more favorable. And they're kind of discrete points that if you're stronger at a particular range, regardless of what your choice of techniques are, you can kind of just play the game on a broad spectrum in those ranges that suit you better and your opponent less. And it simplifies the process a lot more. And then you can kind of layer onto it more sophistication if you like. But yeah, that's how I tend to see it.
Yeah. And I think that is a good sort of system to think about. So if we apply it to Smilla and Alicia, Smilla's punching range is going to be Alicia's kicking range. Yeah. And Smilla's kicking range is going to be pretty far for Alicia. That's like her normal non-exchange range. You know, Smilla's mid-range would probably be her long knees. And that is, you know, that's still around Alicia's punching range. So like you punch and you eat a knee, and it might hit Smilla, or it might not if she does a little bit of a lean back as she knees. And then the close range, you know, okay, there I think Smilla will be able to drop down into the clinch and just hover over her, similar to someone like Diesel Noy would hover over one of his opponents. So I think it's going to be a difficult fight for Alicia, but I do think if she is able to manage that range, you know, that's short, stocky frame, she can use a typical Muay Mat heavy-handed style, leg kick the shit out of Smilla, punch a body. But it's about, I think, the range management, you know, staying maybe far enough away from the knees that she can still sort of punch and leg kick, but not so close that she gets kneed or jabbed too much.
Yeah. It's like you say, that those ranges, and I think that what this is going to make this fight really interesting because of the change in weight class. So that automatically kind of changes the ranges that you'd expect your opponents to have anyway, as like a normative level. But the fact that Samila's just so tall and rangy, even for her weight class, it makes it a real unknown quantity for Alicia. And one that she's going to, I mean, I'm sure she's got training partners, she's trying to simulate it, but in real time in a fight, it's going to be something to adjust to on the fly. That's a new, it's almost like I have an analogy of like trying to park a new car in a parking space when it's a completely different size to what you're used to. It takes some time to figure it out. And she's going to have to do that on the fly in the fight. And it's like you say, Samila's range with some of the techniques she can throw at different ranges are just different to everybody else. I mean, when she was fighting Jackie Buntan, and she Jackie had a like knee guard on and was leaning away and was feeling like, I should be safe. And she really wasn't, because Samila's telescopic limbs were still catching her. And it was like, I don't know what to do about this. She had to figure it out on the fly under pressure. And I think that's something that Alicia's going to, she's either prepared really well for it, or it's going to be something like, I've got to be a really adaptable fighter and figure this out, because normal movements that would get me out of range of something really doesn't now. And there's a different range of weapons coming in at a different range that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. On Alicia's side, she does have some very good training partners like Barbara Aguera, who is the WBC Muay Thai world champion. She beat Joanne Law over at Rebellion not too long ago. Barbara is a little shorter than Smilla, but has that sort of lanky build to her. So that will help Alicia for sure. And to some extent, Barbara fights not totally similar style, but it's adjacent, I would say. So that will help. But, you know, it is hard to figure things out on the fly. To Alicia's credit, though, she does have 5 rounds. So, and the Phuket Fight Club style starts off slow and then builds up. If you remember the fight between Alicia and Stamp, Alicia really built up in the later rounds and start to dominate, I feel, pretty securely, which got her the win there. So there is that, you know, there is that factor as well.
Yeah. And I think the discussion really on the proportions of the athletes is really, really interesting. So you mentioned like the long limbs. I look at it as like a strength and conditioning coach, the athletic performance side of it, and long-term athlete development, and how different stages of development for both male and female fighters. And you can tell actually when fighters were earlier developers or late developers, it affects their torso to limb lengths. So for example, Alicia, she's got relatively short limbs compared to her torso. So she was like an early developer. Whereas Smilla, she's got long limbs for her torso length in ratio. So she would have been a later developer. And in terms of coordination and development, someone who's had gone through puberty kind of earlier and had their body change size on them less tends to be better coordinated and find balance and that easier than someone who's gone through a massive growth spurt and literally, you know, every day they woke up and their kind of limbs were touching a different range of motion. Their arms were longer than yesterday, and you've got to recalibrate and figure out again how do I park this car? It's bigger than yesterday. And it makes coordination a lot more challenging. And also with Smilla being younger, you know, there's all those like you say about the repetitions. So it's repetitions with your frame and your balance. And so I see Alicia as potentially, especially because she's come up in weight class, she's already a muscular kind of fighter. She's going to put on some more lean mass, I'm sure, to make weight for this. No, it won't be unproductive fat mass she's put on. So she's going to be stronger and solid. Lower center of gravity for balance and stability, very good coordination. Where Samila, she's a higher center of gravity, a bit more easy to topple over. Potentially that could be somewhere as well that Alicia could find. She might have to go through the like the kill zone in ranges, if you like, where I can't quite reach. It's like, ah! But when she gets in close, she might find even, for example, that, like you're saying about chopping the legs and perhaps battering the body to reach the head and all that kind of stuff. But I think even the opportunity to catch Samila's leg and upend her, or just unbalance her and perhaps throw her off mentally that way as well. If she's continually having to pick herself up, that could be quite a challenge as well. Mm. So I think it's going to be a really interesting fight to watch.
Yeah, I think it will be good. You know, while I am sort of harping or talking a lot about Alicia's strengths and the possibilities, I do think that Smilla is the favorite in this fight. You know, for me, my feeling is like probably 70% win. But, you know, the small gloves, and Alicia is no tomato can. Anything can happen. But I do think I'm pretty confident in Smilla's abilities and her past performances that she's going to be able to probably dominate this fight. You know, when she fought Jackie, it looked like a killing spree. She murdered Jackie. Just murdered. And to be honest, it's a real testament to Jackie's toughness that she was able to, you know, accept that barrage of jabs to the face. And I was like, oh no, stop. No more.
Thanks for listening. If you found this valuable, please like, subscribe, and share with someone else it could help too. Please give the podcast a review or comment below. We'd love to hear from you. As always, you can visit Heatrick.com for more Muay Thai performance podcasts, videos, articles, and guides. Catch you next time.